thought, hey, I haven't been to Deptford for a long time, go and see Cappy same time, and so I decided to come.
Are you still, because Angela Mars here as well, you're all friends, so are you all part of something that started off when you were youngsters?
Not really. I mean, it's weird because we were all doing our own thing, but we do meet at things like this. I mean, one thing I think I can't really speak for them, but on the whole, we tend to go to each other's events. You know, we support each other, as I was saying, we support each other, especially the writers. We say, I'm writing this, you know, we share passages and things like that. So when they do performances, we come and support each other. You know? Yeah, that's what we do.
What are you doing at the moment? Because I've seen you in the news quite a bit. What are you working on at the moment?
Well, I've been in the news lately just because I've been doing a lot of political debates and things like that. You know, but my heart really is, I'm just finishing a novel. And
what's it called?
It's called Terror Kid.
Of course.
It's a very misleading book, so don't get misled by the title.
Okay.
I'm just about to record another piece of music. And as the lady alluded to, when she learnt to be dyslexic, I'm now professor at Brunel University.
You do? Oh, yes, that's right, yeah. You are. Yeah. How do you feel being a lecturer? I'm really jealous.
Well, I'm not a lecturer, I'm a professor, my dear.
How do you feel like being this academic, you know?
Well, I love it. I just.
When you were in prison, all them years ago, did you ever think you're going to end up being this academic and highly respected, you know, in black and white society?
To be really honest, yes. Inside me, I knew what the possibilities were. That's what I was saying earlier. Did society fail these people in jail, or is it jail, you know, or is it the other way around? I think society is failing them. I don't think there's anybody that grows up and goes, yeah, I want to go to prison. That's my ambition. It's about how the world impacts on you, how adults around you impact on you. So when I was a kid, when I was 8 years old, I had a vision of what I wanted to do, and it was exactly what I'm doing now. And then some kids went, no, you've got to be a burglar. You know, my dad said, you got to drive buses. You know, my mum said, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. Everybody wanted me to do all these things. Some of them were demeaning, some of them were idealistic. But I knew what I was possible. I knew what was possible, I knew what I was capable of. So, I kind of knew. And it's an interesting journey. And it surprises some people because they look at my background and go, yeah, but deep down in me, I knew I could do it.
And you did.
Yeah.
Do you feel great when people come up and, you know, you must have changed someone's life. Do you ever feel like that? Has anyone come up and said, thank you, because of you?
You know, almost every day, in one way or another. And it can be so different. It can be just a kid come up to me and go, I hate reading, and then I just read your novel. It's the first one I ever read. And I'm like, oh, I love reading now. A woman came to me the other day, said she was going to kill herself. And she was alone. She said she was at the, you know, she thought it was the end of her life. And she turned the television on to drown out the noise in her house. And I came on and I actually did a poem. I think of life, I think of death, I think of joy and of regret. I think of food, I think of eat, I think of weariness and sleep. I think of light, I think of dark and of the fool, I think he's smart. And when the world should leave me be, I see the world is hurting me. I think of pain, I think of sorrow, and of today and of tomorrow. I think of rich, I think of poor, and wonder what I am and live for. But when I put it all together, I know that I can live forever, but now I have no liberty. I see the world is hurting me. She said she froze. She said it was like I came in the room personally for her, and she decided not to kill herself.
That's really lovely. Yeah. I've and gone cold, look.
And sometimes I don't know. A brother came to me the other day and asked me to sign the book of my, and I was signing it, and I said to him, it's not a very good book. He's a big Nigerian guy. And he said, how dare you? I can't do a Nigerian accent. How dare you? He said, that book brought me back from the dead. You don't know what that book means to me. So we create things, we put them in the public domain, then they take on a life of their own. So yeah, every day, and I'm really humbled by it, because when I was about 13 or something, I was thinking of killing myself. I just looked at life, and I remember having a conversation with an uncle, and I said, what do you want me to do? He said, well, he named all black people, weren't expected to go to university. He said, well, you get an apprenticeship, and then you get a nice Jamaican girl, and then you marry her, and then you buy a house. And then I said, what happens then? He went, then you die. Oh, you know what I mean? Is that it? You know, is that it? And I thought, well, I could just cut to the chase here. But then I found a reason for living. I realised that I could live for others. I could live through others. And I'm one of these guys that, you know, don't have any children or anything like that. But then I look at all the children who are inspired by my poetry and the letters I get from them. I say, they're my children.
Yeah, you've got children. Yeah. You're very inspirational. Thank you so much for talking to me. It's been wonderful.
Keep up the good work too.